Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Mem Beis. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph Omid Beis, where the Gemara begins, Vein Sofik Moitzimidei Vadai Votanyo. Now let's do a bit of background so we understand where the Gemara is coming from. Why are we talking about Sofik Moitzimidei Vadai? So if you go to the top of Mem Aleph Omid Beis, top of the Omid, second line, the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about avodas chechavim shenishtabra me'eleha. As we learned yesterday, and as we'll learn again today, if a goy owns avodas zara, he can be mevatel the avodas zara by saying, "I hereby am mevatel it. I don't believe in it anymore. All of my dreams and aspirations that I had until now, I see that they've all gone up in smoke. This avodah zarah is not worth a nickel." He can mevatel it. A yid, however, cannot be mevatel the avodah zarah. So the question of the Gemara is, what happens in avodah zarah when you had a statue and it fell to the ground into many, many pieces? Do we say that the avodah zarah still remains intact in terms of its iser hano'ah? Avodah zarah is avodah zarah. You're not allowed to have any hanoah from avodah zarah whatsoever. Or do you say that by the fact that it broke, it's no longer an avodah zarah? And the Gemara said svaris yesterday that according to Rabbi Yochanan, since nobody was mevatelit, it is still avodah zarah, even though it's now in 100 million little pieces, but it's still avodah zarah. Nobody was mevatel. Or Reish Lakish says, you don't have to be mevatel. It's implicit. How is it implicit? Because the oyved avodas chechavim, the pagan that serves this avodah zarah, says to himself, here I'm looking for it, that this avodah zarah should go and bring me a Yeshua, mit a refuah, mit a skula, mit parnosa. Look, this avodah zarah couldn't even help himself. The avodah zarah fell to the ground. No, let us see that miraculously the avodah zarah should put all the pieces together. It can't. So matach the avodah zarah can't help itself. How is he going to go and help me? So even though the oyved avodah zarah, the pagan, may not verbalize it, but in his mind he says, this whole avodah zarah is obviously worthless. That was the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And then the Gemara asked the kasha, from the fact that in our Mishnah, it says that if you have tzlamim, and you remember we learned tzlamim means these andirati shamalachim, these statues of a melech, that if they happen to be intact, they're osir, gzuntite. However, if they break, that was the second Mishnah, moitzi shivrei tzlamim, they're mutter. The Gemara said this is going on libe de Remeir. Remeir holds that all tzlamim are osur, and shivrei tzlamim are mutter. So the Gemara said, just like we say according to Remeir, that tzlamim are osur, shivrei tzlamim are mutter, why don't we say the same thing according to the Chachamim? That if you have avodah zarah, vade avodah zarah, it's osur, and if you have shivrei avodah zarah, you should say it's mutter, just like Remeir said. That was the kasha we asked on Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara said, you cannot compare the case of tzlamim and shivrei tzlamim to the case of avodah zarah and shivrei avodah zarah. Because when you're talking about tzlamim, it's a double suffix, what we call a svek sveka. Suffix number one, were these andrati shel melachim, these statues of kings, were they in fact avodim, that somebody bowed out to them, or not? Maybe it's not an avodah zarah at all. And even if it is an avodah zarah, the fact that we find that it's broken, maybe a goy was mevatelit and broke it, and maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was an accident. So that's the case over there, the Gabi Tzlam. Well, the Gabi Avodah Zarah, I know for a fact that it's Avodah Zarah. It's certified that it's Avodah Zarah. And it's obvious to all that it was served. Now, when I find it's broken, I only have one suffix. Was someone mevatelit by throwing it down to the ground? Or did it happen by accident? So therefore, says the Gemara, the fact that I have a suffix, who broke it, whether it was broken by a goy or it fell by itself, that's a suffix. And I know that the avodah zarah is a vadai, and suffix moitzi midei vadai. That was the Gemara's conclusion on that kasha. You'll recall the Gemara asked the kasha from the Chavra Shemais, and we responded to that kasha. Now we're on to a new case of the Ein Tzofing Moitzim Dei Vadai. Two lines from the bottom. Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Freiti Mor Ein Tzofing Moitzim Dei Vadai. Vatani, we have a braisa. Om Reb Yehuda. Maisa B'Shiv Chosoi Shel Meitzik Echad B'Rimoin. We're talking about a person who is a Meitzik. Rashi says a Meitzik means a Gavra Alma. Means a strong guy. As a 6'5", 350 pounds. You don't start up with a guy like that. And he was Yisrael, says Tap Rashi. And he owned a Shivcha Kenanis. Now you all know from Parshas Ki Sazria that when a woman gives birth to a baby, there are what we call Yemei Tuma and Yemei Tahara. And it depends on whether the baby was a boy or a girl. Isha Ki Sazria V'yolda Zohar. She's automatically tummy for 7 days, even if she sees no blood. After that, the next 33 days, she has what we call Yemei Toihar, and even if she sees blood every single day, the domim are Demei Tahara. So it's 7 plus 33. And when you're talking about a girl, if the lady gave birth to a girl, what's the din? It's exactly double. 14 days of tumah, and 66 days of Tahar. Fine. Now we have over here a Shivcha Kenanis. And I know some of you are thinking to yourself, a Shivcha, we have the same din of Tumas Leida, of 7 and 33, and 14 and 66. So the third Toysis says, yes, yes, yes. See, the third Toysis from the top, Leida Im Zohar, V'Shivcha Metama B'Leida, V'Chein Mashma, in the Gemara Im Mesech Shabbos, etc. So there is a din of tumas leida by a shivcha. Good. Now this shivcha, we assumed that she was pregnant, and what happened was she had a miscarriage, and that miscarriage, where is the baby that was miscarried? It's in a bar. Why? Either because she went to the bathroom into the bar and boom, she was mapil, she had a miscarriage, or she had a nafel and she threw into the bar because she wasn't interested in burying it. She just wanted to get rid of it. Nobody should talk about it. So she threw it into the bar. Now the question is, what's the status of this shivcha? Is she a yoledes zachar or yoledes nekeiva? So says the braisa, uvo koyin, so this is, yeah, a koyin came, the heitzitz, and he looked into the bar, leida im zachar im nekeiva. To go and tell whether it's a zachar or a nekeva. And guess what? He found nothing. Zero. So as far as the woman is concerned, we're going to have to be machmir in both directions and say that maybe it was nekeva and she's tameh 14 days, but we're only going to give her the benefit of 26 days of tahara. Why 26? Because normally if it's a zachar, it'd be 33. But I don't know whether it's a zachar or nekeva. So we're going to, instead of taking 40 days and saying it's 7 plus 33, we're going to be machmer that it's in the keva and she'll be tameh 14 days. But we're not going to give her the benefit of 66. We'll give her the benefit of 33. Yeah, but of the 33, we have to subtract 7 because we've already increased the yemei tumah from 7 to 14. So that, therefore, 14 days of tumah, 26 days of tahara. That's all very exciting. But the shaila of Rabbi Yehuda is, what's the status of the koyin? Did the koyin become tameh by the fact that he was a mile on this nafel? There was a nafel down below, that's the assumption. The koyin was mile on it, and l'choyre he should have become tameh. Now let me ask you a question, Rabbi Sai. Why is a koyin involved b'chlal? After all, a koyin knows that if he's mile al hames, he's going to become tameh. Why did he do that? So you see that the Rashi on the second line says, Koyin, Chochem, Umoire Hiroa Hava. He was a Chochem, and he was a Moire Roa. In other words, he was a Poisik. And now this family wants to know, what do I do vis-a-vis this Shivcha? Umeskave Lohoiris Lo Yeshiva Simeyatuma Vimeitara. That's why they asked him, because he's a Poisik, let him go and inspect and see what he can tell with the Zohar and the Kev. So Rashi says that he was a Chochem Moire Roa. However, the second Toisvah says, Pum fakert, oisakoin shoy tohoya. He was no chochem. He may have been a a poisik and a moira ra, aba nishkeven kagroisa chucham. In Yiddish, they used to have an expression that you have a roof that's baki in all arba chelke shulchan orach, except not in the fifth chelik. Fifth chelik, which is a chelik of seichel, unfortunately in that he was not a baki. So yes, this kohen could have been a baki in kol ha'tayra kula, but he should have used a little seichel. Shoytoy. Sutrashi, because I feel the craving, the choices, I feel the craving, made him a tamay, lina folim, to be in and dumi de ova v'imai. So bottom line is, he really should not have looked into the bar, he should have allowed somebody else. For those of you that have the Likutei Rashi here on the side, the Likutei Rashi brings from Rashi Maseches Nida, where Rashi begins, like we said in our Rashi, that he was a chochem u'moy rehava, zeh zeh shein. Again, I don't know what your Likutei Rashi looks like, but if you go down about the, my Rashi starts, Leida im Zohar im Nekeva, if you go down about 10 lines, he brings from Maseches Nida, Koyin Chochem Hoyo, Umoyer Hoyro, Umeskava Lahoyrois, Imeitom of Tahara, etc., etc. But if you go all the way to the end of that shtickle, the last 4 or 5 lines, says Rashi, I disagree. All of this is Klumhu, because he should not have been over on the din of Tumas Mas, Elakoyin Amma Oretzoya, Oy Koton. Even Rashi, Maseches Nida, agrees to Toisvis that this was no Groisa Chochma to go and send a Koyin to check out whether this was a real Nefel of a Zachar or a Nekeva, a Mishigas, and therefore this Koyin was a Koyin Shoiter, or a Cotton.
Excuse me, is this child of a Shifa a Jew, Matamid Ba'olhel?
Yes, that's what our Gemara is telling us. It's Matam Ba'olhel. So now, before we continue on, notice that the top line of the Gemara says, Shel Meitzik Echad. Rashi says that was a Gavra Alma. So some of the Mefarshim say, now I know why this Koyin was selected to go and look into the bar. This Koyin was a Chucham. He was a Meirah. He knew that it's not a good idea to look into a bar. He knew that there would be a din of Mal Alames. But unfortunately, he had no choice, because the person, the Balabus over here, he was a Gavra Alma. And he forced him, and he said, Koyin, I don't care what you say. I need a psak now. I can't wait for another poisek, another roof to go and check it out. You come. And that's the reason why they referred to the fact that he was a metzik. Who cares who was a metzik? He was the strongest person. He was the weakest guy. That would already explain why the Koyin felt forced into doing this. However, Toisvis, note the top Toisvis, first Toisvis, has another gear, so that he wasn't a meitzik, he was just a moisek. Moisek zeisa means he was a harvester. As you know, when it comes to harvesting fruits, in Lushna Kodesh you have many different lushoinas. When you're talking about tvua, we call it kitzira, like kitzira su oimer. When you're talking about anovim, about grapes, we refer to it as bitzira. Similarly, when you're referring to zeisim, we refer to it as Mesika. So it was a Moisek Zeisim. No, if that's the case, he wasn't a Gavra Alma. So why did the Koyin go and look in? He should have said, I'm very sorry, and I don't want to be Mal Alames. Ah, that's why the second Toisa says, oh, you say Koyin Shoytahoy. So therefore, it's really kind of Lishitosa. Rashi that says that he was a Chochem Moira, and why did he get involved? He had no choice. There was a Gavra Alma that forced him. According to Toisa, however, as well as the Rashi in Maseches Nida, at the conclusion, holds it was a Koyin Shoytoy, because there was no pressure. The Balabus over here was just a Moisek Zeisim. No problem. Anyway, getting back to Gemara, Gemara says, they said that the Koyin is Tohar. Why? Because in that home and in that community, perhaps, a Chuld is a weasel, and a Barzla, says Rashi, a Bardalis, says Rashi, Peloshin Arami Appa. And people understand that word Appa to mean the equivalent of ape. In other words, like a monkey or a gorilla. And so therefore, what did Chuldais Ubardalisan do? They were like vultures that when they smelled a Nefel, they would quickly come and they would clean up the mess and take the Nefel for themselves for dinner. And therefore, that's why the Koyin doesn't have to worry, because there's no longer Nefel, there was a Chuldo Bardis. Frank Timora. For sure, this Shifcha told us she was matal neif, and that's the reason why they called the kohen to check it out. Safik yiru, safik lo yiru, and now we have a safik. Was there a chulda or bardless that slept it away or not? I mean, nobody actually saw. If we knew that the chulda or bardless took it away, we would have told the kohen there's nothing to look for. It's a safik. Because he's safik moitzim midei vadai, so we see a safik is moitzim midei vadai, and that's why we say that the kohen is tohor. No, loy teima hitila neifalabar, el eima hitila kimin neifalabar. What does that mean? She had a major, major discharge, and she doesn't know whether that discharge was just a lot of blood, or maybe in fact there was a nafal there. There was a child that she unfortunately had a miscarriage. And so therefore, the whole presence of a nafal was a suffix. So it's a suffix and a suffix. Maybe there was a nafal, maybe there was no nafal. And even if you go and tell me that there was a nafal, the could be that the chul of a bardless giru, so it's a safik midei safik, not a safik midei vatei. Frey Timora, v'aleida im zochem nekeva huktani. Look back at the braisa. Omer b'yuna mas b'shevchase shol meitze keachod, shetila nafal abar. The hated leida im zochem nekeva. What are you telling me that maybe it wasn't even a nafal? So Timor hachi ka'amar, you have to explain the words of Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. Number one, Leida im ruach epilim, neifel epilim. First, let's go and see what's the status of here. Was it just ruach? In other words, just a major discharge of air together with some blood and together with some other body fluids. But it wasn't really a neifel. Or maybe a neifel etilim. Maybe, in fact, she did have a miscarriage and it was a child. The imtim tzoloyim and neifel etil, and if you're going to go and tell me it was a neifel, leidim zacher im nekeva. And therefore you have a case of a sofik together with a sofik, not a sofik and a vatai. So that's terz number one. Iboyesem gim v'chechulda ubardlis. So in cham, vada gidaru, where you have a chulda ubardlis, they have a sixth sense. They can smell a neifel from a mile away. So you have nothing to worry about. Within 10 minutes, there was no longer nafal there, and apparently the kohen got there in minute number 11. So therefore, by the time he came, the vade, they took it away, there was nothing left, no more nafal.
If the kohen didn't find anything there, so what's the problem? What's it being mild over? He says there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem? He's not being mild over anything that wasn't smelt of it.
The Gemara assumed that maybe it was, you know, a bar is not eye level, not earth level. It's maybe 5 or 10 amos deep. The kohen looks over into the bar, he says, I don't see anything. Maybe if you took a telescope or a binoculars, you'd see something. He says, well, you don't have to worry. If the kohen didn't see anything, you can assume the chulda bardlis slept it away. That's why it wasn't there. Not that he didn't see it properly. He saw it and he has 20/20 vision, he has good glasses and blah blah blah. The reason is because the chulda bardlis slept it away. So bottom line is, the kasha that we asked was a safik moitzim de vada, and the Gemara gives two terutzim. Either it was a safik and safik, or that it was a vade and vadai, and therefore it's not a kasha on our safik moitzim de vada. Now let's get back to the original machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says if you find shivrei avoides kechavim, it's aser. Reish Lakish says it's mutter. The Gemara is going to ask a series of kashas on Rabbi Yochanan and or Reish Lakish. Back in our Mishnah of yesterday, if you find tavnas yad, a mini statue of just a yad or just of a regel, so the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that we're talking about a major avodah zarah, a big, you know, a big statue of a human being. And what happened was the thing got broken, and all you see now in front of you is the yad or the regel. It still retains its status as avodah zarah. Hari elu asurin mnei shekiyotz ben neva, because just like this. In other words, just like as a yad v'regel, you also find people not only bowing down to a big edifice, to a big statue, but even to a small little yad v'regel as well, and therefore, it's awesome. Frey Timur, amai, hashvarim ninu. If this started off as a big statue, and all that's left is the Yad HaRegel, then obviously it was Nishtaber Me'ala, or it's Nishtaber somehow. If a goy was Mishaber it, in other words, he's Mavatel it, and he threw it down, and he banged it, and all the rest, then it's Zichur its bottom. But even if it fell on its own, we had a Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Osir Ish Lakish, says that it's Mutzer. Freit Gemara, why do we say in the Mishnah that they're Osir? Amai Hoshvarim Ninu, didn't we say that these are broken pieces? It's no longer a big statue, it's just a Yad V'Regel. Remember we said yesterday that Shmuel said it's talking about that they made a nice pedestal, a nice base for this Yad V'Regel. And if any of you have ever been to some of these museums, especially when they want to go and show antiquity from Greece and from Persia or from earlier days, you'll often find such a mini statue just having the Yad V'Regel on a nice pedestal. And people say, wow, ooh, wee, ma. Anyway, take pictures, if you're allowed to take pictures. But bottom line is, Vushteitu, since it's Oimbal Basisan, it's a simon that they were not mevatel it, but fakert. They're keeping it, because they want to continue to serve this Avodah Zarah in the form of this Yad or this Regel. See, here's Taka no Bittel, because the intention was to keep it for, not just for posterity, but for purposes of continuing the Avodah Zarah. What the Bryce is telling us, maybe it's a Mishnah later on, Mishnah Mitzvah, we're going to get to it, that when it comes to being Mevatel Avodah Zarah, the only one that can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah is a Goy, either of his own Avodah Zarah or of his Chavra's Avodah Zarah. A Yisrael cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Shel oivik kechavim, and we'll see Mietchem in the Gemara shortly, that if it's an avodah zarah that belongs to a Jew, to a Yid, chas v'shalom, if a Yid owns avodah zarah, nobody can be mevatel it. Not the goy and not the Yid. It becomes ein lo bittel oylomis. We'll see that shortly. But in the meantime, we're talking about avodah zarah that belonged to a pagan, to an oivik avodah kechavim. Shteito in the Mishnah, that oivichom mevatel, he can be mevatel his avodah zarah, but Yisrael cannot be mevatel avodah zarah. So if the Yisrael takes a sledgehammer, and he gives a few bangs on the avodah zarah, and now it's 100 pieces, it's not bottle. It continues to retain its din of avodah zarah. Frank Timura, why is that the case? Remember, what did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish said that if you find broken avodah zarah on the floor, it is mutalach, mutalach. Why is it mutalach? Because even if it fell down totally by accident, doesn't make a difference. The goy says to himself, if the avodah zarah couldn't rehabilitate himself and have a refuah for himself, how is he going to send a refuah for me? So automatically, this avodah zarah is bottled. But we see that that's not the case. Here is Yisrael, who took a sledgehammer, he banged the avodah zarah into little pieces. So why don't we say, it's no different than avodah zechom shenishtab meileh, that the goy should go and say, you see, this avodah zarah is totally impotent. It has no strength, no koyach. It couldn't save himself. He can't save me. Why do you say Yisrael ein mevatel avodah zechom? Everything by Omer Abaye. Abaye gives an ukimta, and he says that Mishnah is referring to shepachsa. Pachsa means that the yid, when he hit it with a sledgehammer, instead of breaking it into pieces, he only caused a dent. You look at the face of the Avodah Zarah, and you see that the nose is squeezed in. It's mushed in. Mazel tov. But lemaisa, the Avodah Zarah is still totally intact, and therefore that's the reason why it continues to retain its status of Avodah Zarah. Frey Timura, v'chipachsa mehav. It's a big deal. So he only gave a dent. He didn't break it. That should also be enough to be mevatel it. Vatanan, we learned right in the Mishnah. Pachsa, if a pagan, if a goy, aval pishal lechosra, if he is pachsa means like we just said, he dented it. He made a smash, a wound in the avodah zarah, even though it didn't break. Still intact. But if he made a dent, aval pishal lechosra, bottle, it's bottle. Should say the same thing with Gabi the Yid, that if he made a pachsa, if he went and made a dent, it should also be bottle. Yet we said before Yisrael, ain't a mevatel. everything, but I'll tell you why. When a goy does a pachsa, then why did he take the sledgehammer to go and bang the avodah zarah? He didn't do a good job, because the avodah zarah didn't break. But at the very least, it still has a dent. Oh, so says Rashi, his kavana was bittel. Since he wanted to mevatel it, the bittel works. Osa avodah zarah, no longer avodah zarah. Avapachsi Yisrael, loy bottle. If Yisrael did it, it doesn't become bottle. Why doesn't it become bottle? So Rashi says, because the Goy says to himself that the Avodah Zorah is not makpid on its covet. In other words, remember, what was the whole svar of Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish said, if I find a broken Avodah Zorah on the ground, I'm now going to attribute to the Oyved Avodah Zorah, to the pagan, and I'm going to read his mind, and he's going to go and say, he doesn't verbalize it, but I'm looking in his mind. And in his mind he says to himself, if the Avodah Zorah couldn't help himself, and that's why it broke the smithereens, how is the Avodah Zorah going to help me? So therefore, it's worthless. Says Rashi over here, when there's a dent by the Yisrael, the Oyved Avodah Zorah has a different type of machshava. And he says to himself, probably that this Avodah Zorah is such an idler, such a good sky, such a nice Avodah Zorah, it's not makbid on its covet. So even though the Yid made a pachsa, he made a dent into the Avodah Zorah, and from me and from you, it looks terrible. The whole nose has been smashed in, but makes no difference. This Avodah Zorah is a chazak, good sky, it's such a wonderful Avodah Zorah, he's not makbid al kvoidoi, and that's the reason why it doesn't become but. V'rova Amar, and this Rav is very important because we're going to repeat this Rav another 5 times in the Gemara, as you'll see momentarily. V'rova Amar le'olam ki pachsi Yisrael nami bat. The truth of the matter is that if you just make a dent into the Avodah Zorah, according to Reish Lakish, it should be mutalach because it's no different than an Avodah Zorah she pachsa me'eleha. Ela gzeira dilma magbala. The reason why we say that if Pachsa Yisrael, or for that matter even Nishtabra Al Yidei Yisrael, that he went and he hit it with a sledgehammer and he broke it, you know why it doesn't become bottle? Because I have Exeter. Dilma Magbala. Maybe the Yisrael first picked it up. And if he picked it up, he was Koine Behagba'a. And then after that he tries to mevatel it by throwing it to the ground, by taking a sledgehammer and banging away. We mentioned this about 2 minutes ago in the Gemara, that if there's an Avodah Zorah that belongs to a goy can be mevatel it. A Jew cannot be mevatel it. However, if you have an Avodah Zorah that belongs to a Yid, nobody can be mevatel it. Not a goy and not a Jew. It remains betoikvoy as Avodah Zorah forever and ever, even if it's smashed to smithereens. Ah, she says Yimar, that's the reason why. Mitzad ikra din pachsa would be, according to Reish Lakish, enough to cause this Avodah Zorah to become bottle, because it belonged to a goy. However, if it belonged to a Yid, then it's ein lo betela oilamis. How did it become the Yid? A Yid owns the Avodah Zorah? Yeah, when the Yid wanted to go and smash this Avodah Zorah, he picked it up, and therefore he was koine b'hagba, says Rashi. Once he's koine, then... Look at the Rashi, in the middle of the Amid. Rashi, about 5 lines above our Gemara. Ella, let's go to Rava Omar, halfway down the Rashi. Rava, oilam, kipach Yisrael, now we have a bit of me'alia. The fact that it didn't smash it to smithereens. He only made a dent, according to Rava, according to Reish Lakish. That's enough. It should be batel mevatel. El Rabban and Gazer, b'chol bitl Yisrael, la bitl. Why? Gazer dum lemagbal of a kani la behagba. He's koina bagba. Ah, freita brother Shai. It doesn't belong to him. How can it be koina? B'chol dvar hefker kegoin metzia niknis b'habba. And therefore,
even if it's hefker, if you have a hefker cup on it, not to be kona something, when you lift it up, you don't have to be sas to be makne, to be kona it from hefker. If the Jew knows this halacha, he wants to work around it, he doesn't see intention to be kona it until it's buckled.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense, and this Rav is a very, very, if you will, it's a groisa doichak. And you're going to see that the Gemara is going to bring in another few times, and Tosis is going to be very upset about it. We're going to see that shortly. But I guess what the Gemara is telling us is that when you have an avodah zarah, and even though it belongs to our guy, but nevertheless, it is the oivet avodah zarah, the pagan, considers this to be an avodah zarah. So he presumably doesn't hold that he owns the avodah zarah. This avodah zarah is a big deity. L'havdol alfi avdolos. Can any one of us say that we own the Rabbeinu Shalom? The Rabbeinu Shalom owns us. We don't own the Rabbeinu Shalom. We are the B'nai B'chayri Yisrael. We happen to be the kinder of the Heilige B'Shefa. But we don't own the Rabbeinu Shalom. So havdol alfi avdolos, presumably what Rashi is saying is, or what Agamor is saying is, that a goy doesn't own the avodah zarah. The avodah zarah owns the goy. And therefore, it is now hefker. And a yid, if he picks it up, even without kavana, he is kind. I agree with you, it's a very difficult concept, and we'll see more about this in the Gemara momentarily. Anyway, so bottom line is, Dr. Rava, we have this gzeira, and that's the reason why mitzah ikra din, according to Reish Lakish, it should become bottle, mevutl. Because if Ayid goes and destroys it, or bangs it, or whatever, it should be bottle, because it's no better than an avodah zarah shenishtabra me'eleha. Where Reish Lakish says, it's mutalach, mutalach. So it should be mutal here too. Why is it also because of this gzeirah, that maybe he picked it up, and maybe he had in mind to go and be koinit, and therefore it belongs to Ayid, and Ayidish Avodah Zarah, Ein Lo Beteila Oilamas. Freitim Arvaita, Eisve, let me ask you a series of kashis on Reish Lakish. Eisve Yaakov Shehevi Avonim, and Amarkulius. As Markulius, as you all know, means a statue made out of stones, and the way they used to go and serve this Avodah Zarah, they used to throw stones at this Markolius full of stones. What did the goy do? He took some of these avonim, v'chipa behem drochim v'tarteois. He used it to go and chipa behem to pave roads. In other words, like you have today, a cobblestone road. Used to have it in lower Manhattan, used to have these cobblestone streets. So here too, he took the avonim to use it for cobblestones for road, v'tarteois. Of course, tarteois on the surface means theaters. Why would the Gemara talk about taking stones and paving theaters? And therefore, the Rishash and other Mepharshim say it's a tois hadfus. It's not tartiois, but it's sratiois. Take out the test and put in a samach, sratiois. And you all remember from Masechta Shabbos the concept of sratia u platia. Platia, sratia, sratia, platia. What does that mean? Like a large square. Like a large square, like a large plaza. Times square. Sratia u platia. Ah, so that makes a lot of sense. He used the avonim either to pave roads or to pave a big plaza, so that it shouldn't be full of sand and dirt. It should have stones. If he did that mutaris, then this whole Markulius obviously was mevatel. The bittel works, and therefore it's no longer asabana. It's a shtick garnished. He was mevatel. It's what. However, Yisrael shaved avonim Markulius. Ayiv that did the same thing. V'chibe ben drachem, and he did the same thing. Drachem or sartiois, asurois. He did the exact same bittel that the goy did. Freiti mara kunt Reish Lakish amay tehevi kavoydes gecham shemishtabra me'aleha. Where we say that if the avodah zarah couldn't help himself, how is he going to help out the pagans, the oiv the avodah zarah? Every machaname kiderava. The same teretz again, that when the yid picked up the stones to go and be mechapa the drachem, when he picked it up, oh, he's koine bahagba. And therefore, it's a Yiddish avodah zarah. And a Yiddish avodah zarah said the Gemara before, avodah chacham biyad Yisrael, eina v'teila li'oila. And the Gemara asks another kasha in Reish Lakish. Eisvei, oivik chacham sheshipa avodah chacham litzor choy. You have over here either an actual asherah tree, or you have a piece of wood or a statue of wood that was served by the oivdei avodah zarah. And this goy needed some chips because he wanted to go and start a bonfire. And as you know, when you start a fire, you can't start with large logs. You have to have this, at least some small pieces of wood to start the fire. So sheshipa means he shaved off from the avodah zarah some pieces. He did it with tzorchoi for his own benefit. That means for the goy's benefit. He, both the tree, the asherah tree, or this piece of wood, the shipuya, as well as all of the carvings and all of the shavings, are mutarin, because by the goy doing such a thing, can you imagine taking a boy his own start shaving it from the right and from the left and the top and the bottom? Azabizoyin. So therefore it's a bittel of the avodah zarah and it's mutalah. However, the tzarcha, if the reason why he's shaving it, because this tree is becoming overgrown, and therefore it doesn't look pretty anymore, and people when they see the avodah zarah tree, they say, nyah, mash, ma'am. So he did the tzarcha zutrashi linoya liapoisa, to make it look pretty. What's it in? He asura. Then the tree continues to be awesome, because he wasn't mevatel it. If anything, he caused it to even be prettier and nicer and more handsome than before. The shipuyeh, however, those little pieces that he carved off, those in mutarim, says Rashi, because what is he going to do with those shipuyeh? Presumably he's just going to throw it in the trash bin, and therefore there's no longer a din of avodah zarah. But that's the gabi the goy. What about Yisrael shishib avodah zarah? Bein litzarchai. Bein litzarchai. He b'shipuyeh asurim. The Jew has no koyech to be mevatel the avodah zarah. Pray tomorrow. Reish Lakish Amai to have a kavodah zechav shenish tabra may allow it should be like kavodah zara that broke on its own. That Reish Lakish says that it's bottle umavutal, that it's mutter, because if the avodah zara couldn't help himself, how can he go and help the oiv the avodah zara? Why are we saying that it's asur? Is a shvera kasha on Reish Lakish? And again, the Gemara answered the same terrors again. Hachanami kiderava. It's like Rava that what? That when he picked up the tree. How can you pick up a tree? This teretz l'chayr is very shver. Memela, when we spoke about the statue, that the Yid picked it up and then he threw it to the ground. Or he picked up the stones of the Marculius. You can pick them up. They're heavy, but you can pick them up. How do you pick up a tree? Rashi said, you're koyne b'hagba. And therefore, the Mefarshim say that Aliba de Rashi, he's not koyne b'hagba, but he's koyne with whatever kinyan you can use for real estate, for trees. No al godar uparatz koshu. Is that likely that before he started shaving off the pieces of chips from this Asherah tree, that he first said, you know, let's make a kinyan first, you know, I want to be yoytze hilchas kinyan. So let's do a no'al godar paras koshu. Let me do a little cultivating, a little digging with a hoe or something. It's a very shver teretz, but that's what the Gemara holds, b'shas adchak. We have to give a teretz to Reish Lakish. So it's talking about a situation where I'm concerned. Not that he actually did it. He might have done that. Zigzeira, other Mefarshim say that Einachanami, this teretz is very shver when you're talking about the Asherah tree, he's not picking up the tree. But once a chamar goyzer, they're goyzer across the board by all avodah zarahs. Then any time a yid wants to go mevatel avodah zarah, and how does he want to be mevatel it? By taking it in hand and smashing it and breaking it or whatever. So even though physically he didn't pick up the tree over here, but since in the case of all of other avodah zarahs, like the statue or like the Marculius, if you want to go and pave a road, you got to pick the stone up. Oh, so als gzeira across the board, they said anytime a yid is trying to go mimavatl, it ain't gonna work, Rabbi Sai. We're gonna be goyzer that he was koinet, and a yiddish avodah zarah, you can't be mevatel. Even a goy can't be mevatel. It remains osur pra. Okay, so
when he trims it. A form of kinyan. It's a regular tree, not a shaver tree. If I want to demonstrate bottomless from a cellar, and I take it and I trim it, that's my kinyan. I'm gogo nar parts mashu. That's the derech of a tree. You're not going to fence it in. You're going to trim it. You're going to show ownership by taking care of it.
Barry, that's beautiful, 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 beautiful chat. But remember, it says over here, bein litzor choy, bein litzor choy. So if you're telling me he wants to improve it and pretty it and make it nice and prune it and then make it more sellable and beautiful, letzarchoi, you're right. But it's letzarchoi where he's saying the tree and this Asherah tree should go to heaven, or the reverse. The only thing I want is I want to go and cut off a pieces to be able to go and burn them, to use these chips as chips for firewood. That would not be the Noah Godur Paratz, that would be bittle, bittle, a bittle. I hate you, tree. I hate you, Asherah. Asherayin tisrafun ba'esh. Asherayin tigadeyun. That's what I'm doing slowly but surely. I'm cutting off some pieces here and there. So that svara of the Noah God of Paretz Koshu, I don't think would work. The tzarcha, for the benefit of the tree, you got a good point. But the tzarchai, that's not a form of kinyan, by essentially spitting at the tree, by cutting off and shaving off some of the wood. Anyway, again, the Gemara says, Hachanami Kidrov, the same Teretz. And the Gemara is going to repeat this another one or two times, and you're wondering to yourself, by now the Gemara should have chapped that any Teretz, any Kasha that we're going to ask on Reish Lakish, we're going to give the same Teretz, Kidrov, Kidrov. So if you look at the short Toises over here on the side, Hachanami Kidrov, says Toises, Torch Ian Becholhani, Utekarila, my Karila, Pshita, the Lishni Bahu Kidrov. Once we've established that we have this Teretz of Rava, so this Teretz answers 99 out of 100 kashas. I don't even understand why the Gemara keeps on repeating again, noch hakasha, noch hakasha. You knew that Reish Lakish has this secret card called the Rava. So why does the Gemara keep on repeating it? But notice that there is in the parentheses, in the brackets, Vayin heitev toisist Shabbos mem gimel, v'oid sham kifchav gimel. If you look up those two toises in after the shir, you'll see that the Toises over there says, he asks the same kasha, Uda ka'orila, my ka'orila, why do we keep on asking? So Toises says, because the Gemara was holding out, maybe I have another teretz. Because the Gemara realizes this teretz of Rava is a shverer teretz. It's a difficult doichik pshat. So maybe you can find a better teretz. Each time we ask a kasha, maybe we're grasping for straws, I can find another teretz. The Gemara keeps on saying, sorry, I couldn't find anything better. We stay with Rava. Others, one second. Others disagree with the Toises, and they say another pshat. And that is that these Gemaras were learned in different times in different yeshivas. That in the Bismedish of Surah, they asked the first kasha about the Shipuya, and in the kasha in the Bismedish of Nerdor, they asked about the Pachsa, and in the Bismedish of Ichvais of Pumpadisa, they asked about the Markulius. So each one of these kashas was posed on different occasions, in different locations, and therefore, they all thought we'd come up with some miraculous answer, and each one came up with the same teretz of Rava. Yes, Barry, what's your question?
I was making a pun, you said grasping at straws. I said, as long as they're not of Ozara, then you're grasping.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Shelley, what do you think about that? That's the last straw over here, right? We're waiting for something witty. Okay, Zokimo Yetzweiter. So we're up to the next kasha. Now the Gemara over here is only bringing, is that just the second part, or that's an extra Gemara? Okay. A person finds, Rashi says, we're talking about, he found an avodah zarah made out of matchis. Matchis means out of metal. How do you get rid of a avodah zarah of matchis. I know how to get rid of an avodah zarah made out of concrete, made out of kli cheres. You go and smash it, you throw it to the ground, it falls to pieces. But matchis, as we know, it's metal. You can go and bang it and bang it and bang it. It just remains the metal. Well, what do you do to get rid of it to mevatel it? So Rabbi Yossi says, shoichik, what you can do is you try to go and pulverize it, grind it up into little pieces. Not an easy task. But what you can do is try to do that, and then just throw it to the wind, and the wind will take away all of these minute, small metal particles. And this way we get rid of it when mevatel avodah zarah. What you can do is throw it into the yam, where it'll sink, and we're talking specifically, which yam are we talking about, Barry?
Yam HaMelech.
Why is Yam HaMelech?
Because it assures everything. It's salt.
Right. Okay, that's one answer. There's another answer that's given is because people do normally not go on a boat on the Yam HaMelech or swim. It could be that today people do swim, but the good old days people didn't swim there.
You can't swim in it.
You can float, right? You can't swim, you can float. So in the old days people did not swim and or go on a boat in the Yam HaMelech. And therefore, why is that any better? Because if it's in any other yam that people do swim and do people do go on a boat, I'm afraid that even if you throw the avodah zarah into the water, it might eventually be retrieved and people will say, oh, beautiful avodah zarah, and therefore you will not have destroyed it. You will not have been mevatel it. People will retrieve it in years to come or days to come. Mashenkin, you throw in the Yam HaMelech, nobody's ever going to get to it because people don't swim there, people don't travel there on the Yam HaMelech, they don't go on a boat, so that's the best place. Shom Tei Kvurasai, just throw into the Yam HaMelech. Okay, very good. This is what Rabbi Yossi said. Amr light. So the Chacham said, on your first Eitzah of Shoich Nezoyer Leruach, that's not a good Eitzah. Because af hi nasa zevel. These small little metal particles, when they're going to Zoyer Leruach, you're going to throw it into the Ruach, they're going to settle somewhere on somebody's land, and presumably they'll rust and they'll corrode, and that will be a form of fertilizer. I'm not saying you should try it out, Rabbi Yisai, those of you that have farms and want to buy fertilizer, but apparently the Gemara tells us that this is an effective fertilizer. And therefore, if that's the case, instead of being mevatalit, a yid somewhere is going to have a no'ah from this avodah zarah. So why are you giving me this eitzah of Shaykh of Zayr al-Ruach? Therefore, that's why the Chum disagreed with Rabbi Yossi. Freiting Moriyetz, I don't understand what the Chum are asking. That it becomes Zevel, liyad biyar chayrim, according to Ishlakish, a mighty evik avodah chum shin shtabra me'alel. If you see that it is now in these small little particles, even if a yid cannot go and be mevatel and avoid the zara, but nevertheless, it's not worse than the shtabra me'alel, where the goy says, if this matchis avoid the zara couldn't help itself out, how is he going to help me out? So why does it continue to be asur al zevel? Everything machanami kinerava, same teretz as before. Eisve, Rabbi Yosef, yes, question.
It's a fertility guard. God, so why, how could you possibly then use it for fertilizing?
Fertilizing, it's fertility, very good. Shkoyach, that was a wonderful pun, it was not said, it was not a futile pun, it was a fertile pun. Good, Shkoyach. Eisvei Rav Yosef ben Yassian, Eisvei Rav Yosef ben Yassian, Oimer, Mo'atzatur is Darkoin, for Roshi Chotuch, Darkoin, we're going to have Mi'achim in the Omet Beis, was in English, the art scroll translates Darkoin as dragon. Others say that it's some sort of reptile, similar to a snake. Regardless, but if you find such a tzura, v'roisha chotuch, and you find that the head has been decapitated, what's it in? I don't know who decapitated this dragon statue. Chsofik oivik chachom chatochai, chsofik Yisrael chatochai. Maybe a goy did it, and he was mevatel the avodah zarah. Maybe a yid did it, and he was not mevatel the avodah zarah. Says Yimara, mutter. Why is it mutter? Says Rashi, because it's a sveksveker. I don't know for sure that anybody bowed down to this darkon. After all, it's not a statue of a god. It's a statue of a dragon, or of a snake. So, maybe this is just artistic, and people bring it into their homes to go and have something to talk about. Ooh, look, how big and how small, and it's shining, and it's blah, 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 blah. So maybe it's just Lenoi, or maybe it's Taka Voidazara. So it's a suffix within his Voidazara. And since I don't know who broke it, maybe it was Agoy that broke it, and that's an effective bittel. So you have a suffix, Svexveka. Maybe it wasn't Voidazara in the first place. And even if it wasn't Voidazara, the Goy broke it. So therefore it's what? However, Vada Yisrael Chatochai, if the one that cut off the head of the dragon was Ayid, then it's Asr. Why? Because you only have one Safik. Safik, whether you were Oyved Avodah Zarah or not, but it was Yisrael that broke it, and Yisrael's Bittel is Gudish. If the Avodah Zarah couldn't protect itself from the Yid, how is he going to protect me? Like Rava said, that he picked it up initially, so he was kind of Bahagba, becomes a Yiddish Avodah Zarah, and a Yiddish Avodah Zarah ain't la betela oilas. Same kasha, same teretz, eitzve. Nocha kasha. And this time, Rabbi said, we're not going to say Kidderava, we have a new teretz. Eitzve, Rabbi say, I'm afla yirok, is being moisak shomim, neshanavia, noisheres alehen. What happens if I find an Asherah tree? And I want to go and plant yirokos, vegetables, under the Asherah tree. Here we have a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi. And the Gemara leaves out the Tanakama, which is a little bit ikachusim in a sefer. What does the Tanakama say? If you look at the Rashi, the first wide line, all the way down below, aflo yirokos, maslisik tani, which says in the Mishnah. You have an Asherah tree, not that Yid owns the Asherah tree, but there is an Asherah tree. Zoyrim tachter shel Asherah, you're allowed to go and plant under the Asherah tree, Yorokais, be Moisek Shom during the winter months. Why? But it gets the protection of the Asherah tree. Says Rashi, it doesn't get any protection. Shad seil kosher lehen. Any type of shade for a Yerokos is not good. You want during the winter months as much sun as possible. There isn't a lot of sun to go around during the winter months. It's basically a rainy season. But abyssal you want it to have. So if it's going to be in the shade, the tzeil is kosher lehen, v'chein tzeil ilim kosher lehen, the fact that you have the asheder tree, it gives tzeil, v'imena mimena, no problem, you can go and plant it during the winter month. Avalevi meisacham, not during the summer month. Shatzeil yofel lehen, you need a little shade. V'nim tzenena me asheder, kol asheder ilanu. So what the Gemara is telling us is, v'ketane kama, you can plant all you want during the winter months, but not in the summer months, because in the summer months you're having hanoah from the Asherah, which is a shtik avoydazar. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree. Even during winter months. You know why? Nevia means the foliage, the leaves of this Asherah tree. Noisheres alein, they constantly fall during the winter months onto the Yerokas down below, and they form fertilizer. They form zevah. Ah, so even during the winter months, you're having hana'ah from the nevi'ah, from the foliage. Don't plant it, even the winter months. V'reitimor amai. Since these leaves are falling off the asherah tree, you should look upon it as if it was like a statue, where you have pieces and pieces. And Rish Lakish said, it becomes mutter. Here too, pieces of the asherah tree, these leaves are falling down. Why don't you say it's mutter? Everything Gemara, that doesn't ishka kasha. Shani hosam, the ikra void is kachom kayam. It's the ikra void is or, in other words, the ikra shader tree remains chai v'kayam. The only thing that fell down are the leaves. Therefore, the asherah tree, since it's still intact, that's why it continues to be osrabano. Freytimor, I, back on the Omer Aleph, when we had the earlier cases, the person who was shaving off pieces from the asherah tree, v'shipuyon, the ikra void is kachom kayam. Okay, he went and shaved off 5%, 10%. But the Ikra Avodah Zarah is still intact. Uktani, and what did we say in the price in the Omer Aleph? Litzarcha, if the reason why he did the shavings, he, Asura, the Avodah Zarah, remains Taka Asur. Vishipuyah Mutarim, and the Shipuyim are Mutar. Why the Shipuyim Mutar? Just like we're saying, the Nevoya, the foliage, is Asur. Why? Even though they fell off of the Avodah Zarah. But the Ikra Avodah Zarah is intact, the Asherah tree is intact. That's why the foliage also remains Asur. But why do we say by the Shipuyin that the Shipuyin are Mutter? Everything Mara. Rafuna Bre Rishu Omar, Lafishain Avodah Zacham, Betela, Derek De Losa. Rafuna Bre Rishu says, really the Kasha is Nishka Kasha. When you're talking about an Avodah Zarah that you smashed, that you shaved, that you broke, that's a bittle. However, how does a tree grow? Everybody knows that trees have foliage that falls off during the fall and during the winter and grow again miraculously through the Kodesh Baruch Hu when it comes the summer and the spring and the summer and they come back to life. You see that all the time, right? It's March, April. You look in the Central Park, you look wherever you have trees and the trees are barren. There are no more leaves. The leaves all fell off. And then miraculously, April, May, beautiful trees. So that's normal. That's Derek De Losa. So that's the fact that the Nevoya fell down, that the foliage falls off, that's not Mavatl. That's the way it grows. Rabbi, so with this we have ended the long line of kashis that Rabbi Yochanan asked on Reish Lakish. And now Reish Lakish goes on the attack and he says, now that you asked all these kashis, now I'm going to ask you some kashis. Kan is like a kan tzipor. We're talking about a nest. Shebaroisha ilan shel hegdish. You find it on the top of the Elan, and this Elan was a Hegdish tree. How did it become a Hegdish tree? The owner of the tree was Makdish the tree for Hegdish, for the Gizbar, for the Beis Hamikdash. And now I find the Kan on top of this tree. Loi nehenin v'loi me'alin. You're not allowed to have anoah from the Kan, from the nest. However, it doesn't rise to me'ila di oiraisa. And therefore, if you did have hanoah, you will not have to go and bring a carbon asham mi'ilais. We're going to have to see in a moment, what's the shaila over here? What's the problem? There's a nest. Why should there be a din of mi'ila loy nehenin? We'll see momentarily. However, what happens if you find a nest, b'rosh shel asherah? You know what you can do? Yatiz bekana. You can schlep down that kan by taking a long stick, a long staff, and move it down from the top of the asherah tree. La'afuke, says Rashi, don't climb up the Asherah tree to take that kan, because if you're climbing up, you're having hano'ah from the Asherah tree, becomes like a ladder. So don't climb up, but just knock it down, or knock it off with a kana, with a staff. Okay, so
what's the nest for?
Very good question. What does he need the nest for? And the Gemara assumes in the Havamina he needs the nest as kindle wood for his bonfire. He had already shaved off all the shavings on the Amud Aleph, and now he wants to go and use the kan, the nest. If you've ever seen a bird nest, as you realize, it's made out of small little shtekelach, little pieces of wood that the bird has enough seichel to put together and make a nest out of, and I want to use that nest for firewood. Zuktimar. The Havamina was going to shavra mimenu eitzim v'kintze behen. That in fact some pieces of eitzim either fell off, or that the bird itself shavra mimenu, it pecked and pulled on the pieces of wood and small little twigs came off. V'kintze behen, kintze means and the bird formed a kan, a nest with them. Can you imagine a bird has so much seichel? Yes, every time you have a nest. You didn't make the nest. I didn't make the nest. The bird makes the nest. So he or she, Shibra Bimeru Eitzim, broke off some pieces of twigs, pieces of wood, and made a gansakan. Okay. So what's the problem? Uktani, it says here in the Sefer, Yatzis Bikona, you can go and use that nest, schlep it down with a kona, and take the nest and use the wood for firewood. How can you use it for firewood? Didn't we say that if it's nishtabra me'aleh, according to Rabbi Yoichanan, it remains aser banoah, because it's a shtika voidazora? Is the chayra shtar karaya too? Reish lokish, kasha on Rabbi Yoichanan. And for the marhocha mayaskinan. And again, the Gemara gives a grisa doichek pshat, going the icy eitzim me'alma v'kintzibahen. It's talking about that, not that the nest is from asherah tree wood, but rather the bird went to another tree, or went to the floor, found there some pieces of wood, some shtekelach, some twigs, brought them up to the top of the tree, and formed a nest out of it. How can you tell where those eitzim came from? Presumably they look different than the Asherah tree. The Asherah tree chvais was a pine tree, with pine cones, the mushel, and this was from an oak tree, it's from a cedar tree, whatever it was. But anyway, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that the eitzim came alma. Ah, so that's the reason why you're allowed to go and use the nest, because the nest is not a problem whatsoever. It's regular wood. It's not a shader wood. All right, so what's the chiddush yatzis bekana? Zokt Rashi, sol kedai techem, we should be goyzer, or to that the person might climb up the tree of Asherah to go and take down the kan, and then he's having hanuah from the Asherah tree. Kamashul, we're not goyzer. If you can be yatzis bekana, use the kan because it's not a shader wood. Says Rabbi Yochanan, this is not a doichik pshat. This is the real McCoy, and that's the reason why it's mutter. I'll bring you a raya. Dekanamitikoni gabi hegdish loy nehenavli me'alin. There's no din of me'ila. Iyamiz bishloy me'daisi eitzim me'alma. If you're going to go and tell me that he, meaning the bird, brought eitzim me'alma, hendikoni gabi hegdish loy nehenavli me'alin. That's why there's no din of me'ila. Loy nehenamidraban midraban and the chachamim were goyzer. Why were the chachamim goyzer, says Rashi? Because if we're going to allow the person to dismantle this kan from the top of the hegdish tree, people won't realize that this is kintza me'alma that he took, that the bird took eitzim from somewhere else. People assume he took eitzim from the tree itself. And you know what they're going to do? Ooh, Yankel, the great tzaddik, the great er l'chayit, he went and took down this kan and is using it for firewood. There's no din of me'ila. Then I'll take a piece of the hegdish tree itself. What do I have to go on the top with the kan? I'll cut off a piece. So if midrabanan lehen v'lim al midraiser d'holay kedishi, there's no dinam ilam in a toira because there's no hegdish in the kan. It was hegdish in the tree. The kan came from eitzim the alma. Zokt Rabbi Yochanan is a charaya like me. There's no problem of asherah wood or hegdish wood, and therefore that's why it says that yatzis bekana, you can take the kan because there is no problem of asherah. El the Amritz, if you're going to tell me Shishibru, Eitzim Imenu, the Kintzim Behen, that the bird took Taka from either the Asherah tree or from the Hegdish tree, and my Lemi Alan, Hakadishi, it's not Hegdish. So why do you say there's no Dinam Ila Min HaToira? Avada should be Dinam Ila. This is the Eitzim from the Hegdish tree. So it says Rabbi Yochanan, I have an effective teret to the Shlokish's Kasha. Zokimar, nah! The Teretz of Rabbi Yochanan is not 100% foolproof, right? He said, Hochinami, Deka, Deka Nami. So Nishkaraya, Midiria, Hochabigdulam, Boni Achamikana, Skinon, the Kosovra, Imeila, Bigidulam. We have a machloikis throughout Chas about the din of Gidule Hegdish. Hegdish, of course, is Hegdish. But what happens, Gidulam? In other words, if I am Maktish a tree, I make the tree in Tashtik Hegdish. The whole thing is Hegdish, and if I now have a Nuah from that tree, I'm Oiva and Hilchas Me'ila, for sure. But what happens if I wait a month or two, and now new branches have grown, new leaves have grown, new fruit have grown from the tree? That's what we call Gidulim. This Kondoch Zayin says the Gemara that the reason why it says that you're not, there's no loy nehenim, loy me'alim, we're not talking about, like you said, that the bird took eitzah me'alma. The bird formed the nest from this tree itself. If it's from this tree itself, how can I go and take now that kan and use it for firewood? I'm being moil behegdish. It's talking about gidule hegdish and ein me'alim be'gidulim. So therefore the Gemara says, not that Rabbi Yochanan's teretz is not a good teretz. Rabbi Yochanan gave a good teretz, it could be taka that the bird brought wood me'alma. But to go and say, deken nami, I have a raya, sinishka raya. Because the Rashi is talking about a situation where he holds ein me'ilim be'gidulim. New teretz. Again, the kasha is on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that nishtabra me'aleh, you say that it is continues to be aser. Right over here by the kan of the Asherah, can you use the shtekelach from the kan if it's from the Asherah tree? So we gave one teretz. The kan is not from the Asherah tree, it's me'alma. Rabbi Avoham, Rabbi Yochanan have a better teretz. Mayatis yatis be'afroichin. The reason why he's schlepping down the kan is not because he wants the kan. He wants the afroichim. In other words, in the nest are small little birds, and he wants to take down those kleine feigelach. That's what he wants, and that's why he's schlepping it down. So you're going to tell me, so what's the chiddush? Of course, those feigelach don't have any din of asherah. They don't have any din of kedusha. Dr. Ashi, Nochmu, I would think we should make a gzeirah. If you're going to allow a person to go and schlep down the kan with the afroichim, maybe the person next time is going to say, what do I have to go and take a long staff? I'll just climb up the tree and take down the Afroichim. Oh, you're not allowed to climb up the tree because you're having Hanua from the Asherah. So therefore, we're not talking about the Shtekelach, we're talking about the Afroichim. No problem. And now Rabbi Yankov adds another Kdech. Omli Rabbi Yankov, Rabbi Yankov, Batachlifa. Azbralach. Let me explain to you, both in the Reisha and in the Sefer, meaning both in the case of the Kan, Shebaroish, Ilan, Shel Hegdish, and in the Sefer, we have the Kan, Baroish, Shel Asherah. Both of them are talking about he doesn't want the kan, he doesn't want the shtekelach, he wants the afroichim. The afroichim kan v'kan mutarim. If there are afroichim, mutter, mutter, mutter. No problem in taking down the kan, no din of me'ila, no din of iser. Everything is wonderful, everything is great. But be'im, however, kan v'kan asurim. If they don't have feigelach, but rather you have still the eggs, then it's asur. Why is it asur? What's the problem? So Rashi says something moiridik, says Rashi right before the Mishnah, towards the bottom. Beyim man kan vekan osur shitzrichen li'ilon. These beyim, if you don't leave them in their place, nice, for the mother bird to incubate them, they're going to die, all of these beyim. They need the ilon, that is their home, that is their security blanket. Because we're abonin k'al ilon atzmai. Therefore, it becomes toughful to the tree. It's a... Barry, one of Barry's favorite expressions is ubi yerech imay. So to extend that a drop more, the bayim become the yerech ho'eim, the yerech of the tree. This is an asherah tree. So these now become like asherah eggs. Since asherah eggs, that says the Gemara, then you could not go and take those eggs because the eggs need the tree. Azoi learned Rashi. Toises gives a different shot. That's how Rashi learns Pshat, and therefore Beyim Mutaka be awesome. The only time that we said before that it's Mutta, because we were talking about Ephraichim. Ephraichim don't need the tree. They will fly the coop or fly the nest any day now. After all, they're ready. Feigelach, they're no longer eggs. So give them a chance, you're going to schlep them down, they'll say, no problem. I will move on to another place, another residence. So therefore, there's a major difference between Ephraichim and Beyim. Ravashi, so Ravashi adds yet another wrinkle, the Ephraichim Shetzrich on the Iman. Afroichim, which are just, you know, a couple of minutes old, a couple of hours old, they still need their mommy and they still need their asherah, they need their home.
is kibayim dami. They have the same status, just like eggs, and therefore, if it's on a sheira tree, it becomes osur because they need the tree. And the Chum said, "We're goizer ka'al ilon atzmi." Okay, on to a new Mishnah, Rabbi Yisai. Ha moitze kelim. A person goes down the street and he finds a kli. And on the kli, v'aleim, there's a tzuras chama, tzuras levana, tzuras darkoin. You find on it a tzura, a picture or an engraving. Those of you that don't know what it means to have a kli, which is beautifully engraved, after the shir, please call up Barry and he will tell you how you can make something beautiful by engraving it. So on this kli, there was a beautiful engraving of a tzuras chama. Now you and I think of that as meaning a picture of a sun. Zokrashi nein, it's talking about mazel chama, the mazel of the sun. And when it says levona, it means the mazel of levona. So how do you draw a picture? How do you engrave the mazel of a chama levona? So Artsko brings from one of the mafarshim that what you would have is a person riding on a chariot on a merkava with a big spear in his hand. That is a likeness of the mazel chama, because just like the chama has total dominion during the day, without the chama we could not exist, we could not live, and especially now during the summer we know the effects of the chama, how hot it is today because of the sun.
And it's hard to have dominion.
You have to have dominion, right?
It's hard to have dominion in the summer.
Oh, very hard to have dominion in the summer. Beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, ask Brother Shai how he miraculously puts together dominion every single day. Good.
I say yes.
Yeah, exactly. So getting back to our Mishnah, so the Tzuras Chama is not a picture of the sun, but a chariot with a warrior that is omnipotent, like a melech, like the mazel of the Chama. I'm not sure what the Tzuras Levana is, but something similar. And Tzuras Darkon. Darkon, we said before, is a dragon. In all three of these cases, many people use these kelim for Avodah Zorah. They bow down to the Tzuras Chama, to the Tzuras Levana, to the Tzuras Darkon. And therefore, if you find it, Yelich Miyam Melech, just thrown to Yam Melech, like we had before in the Omer Aleph, for the reasons that we gave before. Reb Shem Gamliel Oimer, Shalom Uchubadim, Asurim, Shalom Uvuzim Mutar. It depends what type of kli. After all, if you happen to be a tourist and you want to bring home a present for your family member, for your enikel, for your housekeeper, so what do you buy? You bring back a nice jug, and it has a picture. If you're in Switzerland, a picture of the Alps, etc., etc. So if it's mechubid, then it's tak awesome. Shal mavuzim, what happens if you buy as a souvenir a beautiful toilet paper dispenser which has on it the Alps? Tell me, is that the type of souvenir that you're likely to buy? Maybe if it's a tremendous clearance sale, they're only charging 10% of the original price, maybe you'd buy it. Well, that's the chmivuza. You put an avodah zarah on the toilet paper dispenser. So it depends what type of kli you're talking about. It's a kli.
Maybe it's for or.
I'm sorry, for what? Very good, very good. Shkoyach, beautiful, beautiful. In those communities where Baal Pa'or was not the norm, therefore the people would look upon it as being a little crazy. But very, very good point. Shkoyach. So getting back to the Gemara. Bottom line is, if you find Kalim with a Tzuras Chama, Tzuras Levana, Tzuras Darkon, thrown into the Yam HaMelech. So to my Lememra, the Lahani Huda Palchi Lahu. It's a mashu from this, that these three Tzurais are the type that people had the custom in those days to bow down to, and therefore you have to worry about it. Lemirachrin Eloi. But we didn't say anything else. Sounds like these are the only three. I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah, a Braisa, Vushtait, Tesefta. Hashoichet l'shum yamim l'shum nahores. You see that there's an aleph here, and all the bachtos is adds in first before you get to the yamim l'shum horim l'shum gevois l'shum yamim l'shum nahores l'shum midbarois. Meaning, what this Bryce is telling you is that you don't have to have a recognized deity. You and I and a goy can go and create our own deity, and as long as we bow down to it, we're over on the Isra of Avodah Zarah. So if a person shechs, like he's shechting a takroivis Avodah Zarah, for the Yamim, for the Naharois, for the Midbar, for the Chama, for the Levana, for the Kechavim, for Mazalis, Lishum Yichoel Sar HaGadol, Ulishum Shilshul Katan. Shilshul Katan means a little worm, Rabbi Yisai. If you do any of these things, hare elu zivchei meisim, meaning this becomes ashtika voidah zara. Why does the Gemara talk about zivchei meisim? You remember back on Daf Chof test, the Gemara brought a pasuk. Vayitzamdu lebaal pa'or, vayoichlu zivchei meisim. That the Gemara compared, made a hekish of avodah zarah to zivchei meisim. So you and I, chas v'sholom, we shouldn't do it. But a goyish can go and create an avodah zarah. He takes a worm and he bows down to the worm. And he is so enamored with the worm, he takes a kli, he draws a picture or engraves on it the tzura of that worm. And he bows down to it, he becomes ashtik avodah zarah. So for Eitimura, why does our Mishnah only mention the Chaman Levana and the Darkoi? You see that even if it's harim and the haris and the bekoyis and the shoshul cotton, all of these can be avodah zarah. Everything more omer abaye. Miflich lechol the mishkechi palchi. People are, pagans are not normal, in my mind anyway. Anything that they find that they devote themselves to and they say, yo, this is an avodah zarah, and they make it holy and make it a deity, becomes takan avodah zarah. However, meitzer miflichi, to go and create and avoid a zora on a kli, to take a, you have a kli, you have a mug, you have whatever, you have a toilet dispenser, and now you go and draw on it a picture of any one of these things. The minig was that these three, the chama, levon, and a darkoin, oh, those they taka would draw or engrave on a kli, and then they would serve it, they would go and worship it. If you find any other kli, if you're bringing back a mug or a jug or whatever from Switzerland, and you have on it beautiful pictures of the Alps, people do it lenoi. They're not doing it for avodah zarah. People don't worship the Alps. They worship the chama, the levona, and the taka. Now the Gemara begins. Man ki Rav Sheshis chumri masnaisa vitoni. Rav Sheshis collected Mishnayis and or Brises, which he felt were difficult to understand. He collected them, and then he explained them for the benefit of the Talmidim. So what did he collect together? First of all, he collects together Kol HaMazolis Mutarim, Chutzi Mazel Chama, Ulevana, any type of mazel. Meaning, if you have the tzura of a mazel, it's mutter. Mutter for what purpose? We'll see in the Gemara shortly on the bottom. But it's mutter. Except if you have a kli that has on a mazel chama levana, that's osur. Mazol is a mutar except for chama levana. V'cholar patzufin mutar. Patzufin means that you see the face on this statue. All patzufin mutar. So if you see the face of a cow, of a sheep, of goats, whatever, that's all mutar. Chutz mipatar patzufin. If you see, however, the figure of a person, you see the face of a person, that's osur. What means mutar and osur, we'll see in a moment. Any tzura. Tzura over here also means the tzura of the face, l'mashal. However, the reason why we don't call it a partsif, explains Rashi, that when you're talking about dogim or darkoin, chutz mitzura is darkoin, we don't call it a partsif anymore, we call it a tzura. And the Mefarshim explain that there's a difference between fish and reptiles and human beings and animals. Human beings and animals, the head can be held upright, just like a person, Baruch Hashem, you walk down the street, you see that the head is up, and the rest of the body is separate. Same thing by a cow, the cow can raise its head up. However, when you're talking about a dog, the fish, the head, and the rest of the fish is all one madrega, you can't split between the two. Same thing is by your snake. A snake, if he raises his head, he's raising the whole body, it's all one shtick. So that's why this is called a partim, this is called a tzura. Doesn't have a difference in halacha, it only has a difference in definition, how you use the terms. So this is the Mishnah of Braisa that Rav Sheshis has collected, and now the Gemara starts analyzing. Oh my man. Leave out the word hacha. What are we talking about that we say it's mutter, except for chamalavan? We're talking about a person is fashioning, he's creating a statue of a mazel of the chama levana, that we're saying that's osur, but any other statue is mutter. Freitimor iba oisa, kol mazolus mishari. Any type of mazel. In other words, if you're going to make a picture and or you're going to make a sculpture, not of the chama levana, of any other celestial bodies that you have up in the shemaim, you're going to make of Jupiter, you're going to make of Mercury, you're going to make of any mazel that you have upstairs. Boksiv lisasin iti. Leichasim leizov lisasu lechem. Darshini, what means lisasin iti? Loisasin kidmus shamoshai hamshamshin lefani bamorim. The word iti explains Rashi means those that are next to me up bamroimim. Don't make pictures or sculptures of any type of mishamesh. So therefore, it's not just a chama levana. Any type of mazel upstairs in the heavens, it should be awesome. Ela pshita, what it means in this brisa, kol mazolus mutarin, doesn't mean to make them, the moitze. You find them on the street. Ukirana, like our Mishnah. Ha moitze came of aleim, turis chama, turis levana. Those are, and turis darkoin, those are osi yichamniyam, melech. But anything else is mutar. Also, that's the pshat in the first part of this brisa, kol mazolus mutarin. You find it, you can keep it. But not mazel chama, mazel levana, because that may be avoided. Okay, so let's continue on. Ibn Moitzef, we're talking about that he found it. Let's see the middle case. What's the middle case? So we're talking about Moitzef. If you find the parts of Adam, that's Osur. Any other parts if you find, mutter. Parts of Adam is Osur. We're talking about Moitzef. Parts of Adam, me Osur. If you find a statue, the picture, the sculpture of a face of an individual, what's the problem? But tonight we said in our Mishnah, those in parts of Odom Loi. There's no problem if you find a mug, a jug, which has a picture, a sculpture of an Odom, only Chama Levana and Darkoin, not parts of Odom. El Pshita, the middle case, must be talking about be Oise, that you're allowed to go and make other parts of Odom, but do not create a parts of Odom. Why can't you create a part of Adam? Because Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua, we didn't have that Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua yet. We're going to have it on the Amid Aleph that he darshens loisasun iti loisasun oisi. Means the Kadosh Baruch Hu says betzelim elikim asa esa Adam. Everybody's created in the image of God. So if you make an image of a person, it's like making an image of Chas V'Shalom the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's aser. Ah, that's a loisasun iti. Ah, so it's talking about be oisa. So note, the Reish is talking about Moitze, the middle case is talking about Oisa. Aim a Sefer. Let's look at the Sefer. Call it Tzuris Mutaris, which would be Tzuris Darkoi. All Tzuris are Mutar except for the Tzura of this dragon. Look to Mark. Viba Oisa Tzuris Darkoi, mi Osir. Manufacturing, fashioning a Tzuris Darkoi, what's the problem? Boksiv. Oisas and Iti Alhei Chesvalei Zohav. What's the Iti? Hani in. Meaning, says Rashi, those Shamashim Shibemorim, which are Iti. Kaviyachol close to the Rabbeinu Shalom Bamiroimim, Tzuris Darkoin line, but there's no problem with the Tzuris Darkoin. So why does it say over here, if we're talking about a case of Oise, why can you make a Tzuris Darkoin? Make a sculpture out of a dragon. Ela Pshita must be talking about Moitze. Ukirit, not like we learned in our Mishnah. Moitze came while laying Tzuris Darkoin, Tzuris Levon, and Tzuris Darkoin. Those are all Asur. So come to Choizok, Dimara, Reisha Beseifa Bemoitze, Umetziyasa Be Oise. The Reish is talking about Moitze. What was the case? He found a kli with the Tzures Mazel Chama Tzures Levana. That was any other Tzures fine, but not Chama Levana and Darkai. So it's talking about Reish is by Moitze. The final case over here, we were talking about Kol Tzures Mutaris, Chutzris Kol Darkai. Again, it's talking about a Moitze case. The middle case, we talked about the Tzures Adam. That's talking about an Oise case. Does that make sense that that's how he interpreted? Who was the person that put the all together? That was Rav Sheshes. He took together Chumri Masnaisa. Does it make sense that the Reish is Moitze, Seif is Moitze, and the middle is Oise? Omer Abay En, yo, Reish is Seif, Moitze, Metzias is Oise. Chonish Kabreda says Abay. It's Takishver, but that's what he meant. Rav Omer Rav makes it easier. Kula Moitze. Everything is talking about Moitze. Umetziyasa Rabbi Yehudi, the middle case is talking about Rabbi Yehuda. It's not talking about a regular Tzura Sa'odam. A regular Tzura Sa'odam, your Moitze is not a problem. The only Tzuras that you have to be concerned about, said our Mishnah, is Tzuras Mazel Chama, Mazel Levona, and Darkoi. You don't have to worry about a Tzura Sa'odam. Here you're telling me Moitze Tzura Sa'odam is Osir. It's talking about two very unique cases. The sign of Yehuda Moisef. We're just going to another five lines of Moisef just to get to the two dots. The sign of Yehuda Moisef after Musmeinika Visor Apis. What does that mean? If you find a Tzura of a Menika. Menika means of a nursing mommy. And the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment. How can you tell it's a nursing mommy? Because you see a statue where a mommy is nursing her child. Or if you find a statue of the Sarapis, our Gemara takes the Sarapis and divides it into two words. Rabbeinu Chananel, when he's goyis Sarpas, as one. That's the name of this Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is called Sarpas. Why does the Gemara call Sarapis? Zug Nemafarshim, because we want to be Mevazah this Avodah Zarah. And we're saying, you know what this Avodah Zarah, this Avodah Zarah thinks that it's a Sar, it's a Gantzah minister, it's a Gantzah knacker. It's Efes, this is garnish mit garnish, this is gunish, Rabbi Say. Sar, this Sar is Efes, Sarapis. Okay. What does it look like? We'll see in another moment. It looks like Yosef HaTzadik. Really? How does it look like Yosef HaTzadik? We'll see in a moment. Says Reb Yehuda says, you're not allowed to, if you find a kli that has a demus of a menika, of a nursing mommy, or a demus of this sar apiz, what's the din? Asur. You know why it's asur? Because menika, shem chavish, menika koloinam kulai. The reason why people bow down to this statue of a menika, because they reminded themselves of Chava, who was the Ein Kol Choy. Oh, so therefore they made him to Avodah Zarah. Sar Apis al Shem Yosef. How? Shesar, Rashi says that he became a Sar, the Mishnah Lamelech by Paroi. O Mephis, here the word Mephis like be Mephias. Mephis kolo ilam kuloi. He appeased the whole world by giving everybody to eat and to drink. However, says the Gemara, how can you recognize that this is Chav and this is Yosef? In the case of Yosef, it's talking about that he was holding on to a griva. Griva means a weight, a scale, to go and measure out, or a measure, to go measure out the food that he was selling in Mitzrayim to all the people. Vehi, in the case of Menika, the Nokta Ben become Menika, that you see that she's holding this child to its bosom, to her bosom, to go and be Menik. Oh, so those two are the ones that are Osir, we're afraid that Avoy desires. So therefore, according to Rava, the Reisha, the Sefer, and the Mitziyasa are all talking about Maitei. With that, we conclude the Gemara. Mi'achim, we continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zayin, zayin, zayin.